Good morning. Welcome to our online friends. It is so great to have you with us here at CLCC. As I always say, if you live in the area and you don't have a home church, we'd love to invite you out to worship with us. Our Sunday morning gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And for more information, feel free to check out our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. christianlifecommunitychurch.net is the correct web address. And we're very aware that we always have people moving into the area. Actually, Cumberland County is one of the fastest growing counties in the whole state. And so if that's you, if you're new to the area, if you're looking for a church, again, we invite you to come out. We also have a fun event coming up at the end of September. It's going to be Saturday, September 28th. It's our CLCC yard sale, craft show, and chicken barbecue. It's a fun event. You might be able to meet some people, get some great deals on yard sale items, craft items. And of course, the chicken barbecue is second to none. So we invite you to come out for that as well. But again, it's great to have you with us. God bless you. Glad you could be with us today. Okay, if you will turn in your Bibles with me, go to Genesis, no. Why don't you guys go to Judges chapter 4? We'll get there in a few moments. I have just a couple of things I want to touch on before we get there. We're going to be talking about a mighty leader this morning whose name is Deborah. A mighty leader named Deborah. Before we get there, I just want to highlight a couple things. In Genesis 2:18, this is where, during creation, I'll just read it. In verse 18 of chapter 2 of Genesis, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And of course, that's exactly what the Lord did, and he took a rib from Adam and created Eve, who was a helper, or a helpmeet in some translations, to Adam. And that word helper or help in the Hebrew is the word azer, and it means to aid and to help. And it's interesting, I didn't know this about this specific word until I heard Bill Johnson mention it, I don't know, a couple months ago. But in Scripture, the Lord uses the same word to describe himself in his relationship to his people Israel. He calls himself a helper to Israel. Isn't that interesting? The same word that he uses to describe the woman that he's going to create, she's going to be a helper, he uses to describe himself. And of course, we know Holy Spirit plays that role. His function is to come alongside us. He's the paraclete. He comes alongside us, and he helps us to walk out and accomplish the things that God has called us to do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of Holy Spirit as a helper, I don't think of Holy Spirit as subservient to me. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that he's subservient to you, that he's under you, that he's beneath you, that you're this ruler and that he's there to serve you in that capacity? I think of it the opposite way. Yeah, that look is how I think of it. Like, that would be crazy. That would be weird to think that way, wouldn't it? Because he's a helper, but he's still Holy Spirit. He still has his identity, right? He's not subservient to anybody. He's a part of the Trinity. He's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit. And he flows in that role. He functions that way to be a blessing to us. Well, I wonder if that same line of thinking would apply to women, where a woman isn't subservient to a man, but she is there to be a blessing the same way Holy Spirit is a blessing to us. Let's just flip back for a second to Genesis 1, verse 26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And what I'm bringing out is that God created man and woman in his image. Holy Spirit is a helper to us. But that doesn't mean he's down here and I'm up here. And what I'm trying to bring out is that he created man in his own image. And that word in the Hebrew for man is, think of it not just as that man, like Mike Vallick is a man. Like, think of it in terms of mankind. He created mankind. He created humankind. He created this species called humans, right? Of which we are. He created mankind in his own image. Now, there's some nuances. There's a man and there's a woman, right? But it isn't that the man is here and the woman is here. And I think a lot of times we get that line of thinking, even in the church. And I think we can almost put a stranglehold on women and the call, the mighty call that God has on their lives if we subscribe to that way of thinking. Okay? Are we okay so far? We all good? Okay. Because whenever a woman realizes the call that God has on her life, and she is in a company of people that are encouraging her to walk in the call of God, amazing things can happen. Amen? And we are witness to that in this house, and I'm thankful for that. I want to tell you something. We have some mighty women of God here at CLCC. And I want to be the biggest cheerleader for them and say, go and do all that God has called you to do. Amen? I mean, Pastor Steph, Marty as an elder, Karen as a deaconess. There's other leaders, Sharon. There's other leaders. Stacy does an amazing job as worship director. We have some mighty women of God in this house. And listen, there's a generational aspect to it as well, as I alluded to earlier, where that, you know, these leaders can speak into the lives. I mean, Suzanne, I wonder what that girl's going to be someday. I know she's a challenge at times. I know she can be a handful. But I also know she has a call on her life. And Gaga and you and your whole family are speaking into that. And I think we'll be blown away at what she is someday. It's going to be good. It's going to be powerful. So the same way that the woman is a helper is the way that Holy Spirit is a helper. Let's celebrate that in this house. I know we already are. Again, I'm giving us a pat on the back. Let's continue to do that. Amen? And I have a slew of references that I don't think I'll go over this morning. They're references to places in Scripture where the Word of God refers to Holy Spirit as that helper. I mean, if you're interested, I can give you the list afterwards. But for time's sake, I don't think I'll go into that now. I'll join you guys in Judges chapter 4. Y'all there? Yep. Okay. Again, we're talking about a mighty leader, Deborah, this morning. You're going to love this. So we're going to start right there in verse 1, and you'll remember that throughout the whole book of Judges, right, the people of God, Israel, would begin to, the phrase is, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, right, and they would begin to walk away from the Lord, and they would get into idolatry and just all kinds of sin, right, and the Lord, not because he wanted to squash them and wipe them out, but in an attempt to bring repentance on their part so that there could be connection again with God, he would bring judgment on his people. And then the people would cry out to God to be delivered from this oppression, and the Lord would raise up a judge or raise up a leader to deliver the people of God from this oppression. And then typically they would walk closely with the Lord for a period of time until they would begin to again walk away from the Lord. And then there was this cycle that we see throughout all of Judges. And that's what we're talking about here in Judges chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, when Ehud was dead, the children of the Lord again did evil in the sight of the Lord. We see that phrase all throughout Judges. Verse 2, so the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Okay, so Jabin is the king, the Canaanite king that the Lord delivered his people, the children of Israel, into, right? So the commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. Okay, so Sisera is a key person that we're going to be talking about this morning. Verse 3, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. So this king is mighty from an army standpoint. 900 chariots, right? And he deals harshly with Israel. And he oppresses them for not just a day, not just a week, not just a couple of months. This is 20 years of oppression that the children of Israel are under. And I know there's some of us even here today, maybe some of us joining us online, who have been in a long-term, what feels like an oppressive situation. Can anyone identify with me on that? Yeah. Long-term situation that has been oppressive. But I want to encourage us that even though previously Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and I'm not saying you're in your situation because you did evil in the sight of the Lord. I'm not saying it at all. Sometimes that's just where we find ourselves, you know? But even though Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, God did bring judgment. When they cried out to him, what was his response? Did he turn his back on them? Did he say, you're getting what you deserve? No. In his mercy, in his compassion, in his love for his people, he raised up a judge to deliver them from 20 years of oppression. And what I'm trying to point out is, as we cry out to God, as we've been dealing with our long-term oppressive situation, he's a good father. He's a good God. Amen. He's got an answer in mind for us already. He had Deborah in mind before Israel even cried out to him. He had a strategy. He had a plan that he was ready to put in place if his people would yield to him. Amen? He's a good God. So in the midst of your long-term oppressive situation, and just keep on keeping on. Keep on pressing into God. Keep on crying out to him. He is a good God. Amen. He is a very present help in our time of need. Amen. And so in verse 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And as I mentioned earlier, this is kind of the cycle that we see happen in Israel. You know, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They were oppressed. The people would cry out to God. He would raise up a judge who would deliver Israel from their oppression. And in this case, he raised up this mighty woman of God who's a prophetess, who is the judge of Israel, Deborah. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Let me tell you something. Deborah was an amazing woman. She had the goods, if I could put it that way. She was a woman after God's own heart. She had a relationship with him. She heard the word of the Lord. And we'll see later, she would give the word of the Lord to people that would bring amazing results. There's a note here in my study Bible, Jack Hayford study Bible, on Deborah. And I just want to read it real quick. It says, Deborah literally means bee, like the animal bee. I think we had a bee flying around here a few weeks ago, right? Bee, reminding us this woman's wisdom, how she liberally shared with her friends, and how her influence and authority were used by God to sting Israel's enemies. Her creative talents and leadership attributes distinguish her. Deborah wrote songs and sang them, and she was a patriotic woman of God who judged or led Israel for 40 years. This was not some flash in the pan. 40 years. She might be called the first woman military commander and first female Supreme Court justice. The keys to Deborah's effectiveness were her spiritual commitment and walk with God, seen in the fact she is called a prophetess. She demonstrates the possibilities for any woman today who will allow the Spirit of God to fill and form her life, developing her full capacity to shape the world around her. Deborah is a shining example of what a mighty leader, a mighty woman of God can look like. And we have some wonderful examples in this house, as I mentioned earlier as well. And we celebrate these women. So verse 6, then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? Okay, she's a prophet, and she is giving Barak the word of the Lord. Barak is the commander of the army for Israel, okay? So here's the word of the God, the word of the Lord from Deborah to Barak. The word is, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you, I will deploy Sisera. Remember, he's the commander of the army for the enemy's army. So, I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabim's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. Here's the word of the Lord, coming from this prophet, coming from this judge, coming from God's chosen leader for this season in Israel's history, and she gives him the word of the Lord. Verse 8, and Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Boy, he's all fired up about this, isn't he? He's just chomping at the bit. He can't wait. Have you ever had somebody prophesy over you and that was your reaction? Like, are you sure? Are you sure that's the word of the Lord? Are you being prophetic or pathetic with me right now? I know. Yeah, he wasn't too enthused, right? Barak wasn't fired up about walking out the strategy that God was giving him through Deborah. He says, if you go to Deborah, then I'll go, right? That way, not only am I on the hook, but you're on the hook as well, right? And listen to what Deborah said. So she said, I will surely go with you. Listen, this woman, she's got something going on with the Lord, right? She's connected. She knows this is the word of the Lord. And so she knows you can take this to the bank, right? And Barak, I know you're afraid. I have no fear about this because this God that I'm in relationship with, he's good. He'll do what he says he'll do. And so, yeah, surely I'll go with you. Amen? Surely I'll go with you. Nevertheless, verse 9, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went with him. So after a little bit of coaxing, After a little bit of convincing, you know, I'll go, but only if you go, Deborah. I'm all in. I'm all in, Barak. I'm with you. All right? The word of the Lord is going to come to pass. So they go to where they're supposed to go. He has these troops. And sure enough, Sisera, the commander of the enemy army, finds out. Right? There's another note here on Barak. That I'll just read real quick. Barak's hesitation to go to battle without Deborah showed a lack of trust in the Lord. Consequently, the honor of victory over Sisera, according to Deborah's prophetic word, would go to a woman, which we'll see happens here in just a moment. But here's the grace of God. Here's the mercy of God, right? And I didn't remember this until I read this note. Nonetheless, Barak is mentioned as one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews Hall of Faith. I didn't remember that. Yeah. Isn't that the grace of God? The mercy of God? He's still in the Hall of Faith with that reaction. He's a good God, isn't he? Yeah, he's good. So let's skip down to verse 12. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone to Mount Tabor. So Sisera, remember, he's the commander of the enemy army, right? Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? This wild prophet, she is prophesying the word of the Lord. And I think that did something to Barak, right? He wasn't crazy about the prophecy prior, but she's with him now, and she's still prophesying the word of the Lord over him. And hopefully that's building him up, giving him some confidence, you know? Hey, this lady must really believe that the Lord's going to do this. She wouldn't be here otherwise. Right? She's the judge of Israel right now. Like, she's a high-ranking person. She wouldn't be here if she didn't think God was going to do what he said he would do. So, Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Now we read that, but you know, it's easy to kind of lose sight of what's really going on here and what's at stake here, right? Barak has his 10,000 soldiers and they're there. But they've been oppressed for how long? 20 years. And this enemy nation, they are loaded, 900 chariots of armor, of iron. Like, they can do some bad stuff. And based on the word of God, here's Barak in the midst of this situation. And if God doesn't come through, what's probably going to happen to him? He's at least going to be a prisoner of war, if not executed. Would you say there's a lot at stake here? Not only for him, but he's leading 10,000 soldiers here. Does he want to see them get wiped out? No. No. And he's in a tough situation. Pastor Steve had such a great message on faith last week. And it's in these moments, right? It's in these moments where God turns up the heat, if I can put it that way. And he brings the impurities to the surface, so that we can deal with them. What impurities might Barak be dealing with? I don't know if God's going to do what he said he would do. There could have been the impurity of fear, the impurity of doubt, unbelief. There could have been a ton of things that came up in the midst of this situation where God turns up the heat and stuff comes to the surface. Nevertheless, he's taking steps. He's doing the best he can. And he hasn't done it perfectly up to this point, right? I'll go if you go, Deborah. That was a little underwhelming, right? Yeah? I'm the man of God. I'll go if you go, okay, honey? Yeah. Yeah, but nevertheless, he's taking steps. He's taking steps. And remember, in the end, he's mentioned in the hall of faith. Listen, if we'll just do the best we can, if we'll just feed the word of God to our spirits rather than feed the fear, the unbelief, feed the doubt, feed the fill in the blank, God can do amazing things through us. Amen? And we see that that's exactly what happened. It says, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. Barak saw the word of the Lord realized. He saw the word of the Lord manifest right before his eyes. What do you think that did to his faith? Yeah. Do you think he was maybe beating his chest a little afterwards? Like, my God is good. My God is faithful. Yes, he'll do what he said he'll do. Amen. Amen. And so it is for us as well. So, but in the midst of all this, Sisera, the commander of the enemy army, he bolts. He gets away, right? It says that he alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. Verse 16, but Barak pursued the chariots of the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. Verse 17, however, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And so here we encounter another mighty woman of God. You'll see in just a moment if you're not familiar with this passage. So Sisera, the commander of the enemy army, he gets away. And he comes to this woman, Jael. And her husband, Heber the Kenite, was at peace with Sisera and with King Jabin. And they were good, right? They were good. And so Sisera felt like, oh, I found, you know, a safe place to hide. Because he's on the run at this point. His whole army is wiped out, right? They take out the chariots. They take out his soldiers. And somehow he escapes. He gets away. And he thinks he's with a friendly ally. And so let's just read on. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me, do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. And he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You shall say no. So again, Sisera, commander of the enemy army, he's on the run. He's on the lam. And he feels like he's found an ally in Jael because of her husband. Now, Jael was still loyal to Israel, which we'll see in a moment. But Sisera, hide me, and stand at the doorway of the tent. If anyone comes looking for me, tell him I'm not here, okay? And he feels like he's safe here. Jael, again, is loyal to Israel. She knows what's been going on for the last 20 years, right? And this mighty woman of God does something about it. Then Jael, verse 21, Heber's wife took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. Wow is right. Yeah. Whoo! It is a hard hit. This is not some meek and mild woman who's just kind of in the shadows, right?
Mean woman.
She's a mean woman. No, she's not meek. You're saying she's mean. I'm saying she's mighty, right? And she drives this tent peg through Sisera's temple and nails him to the ground, literally. The commander of the nation's army who's been oppressing them for 20 years.
Sweet revenge.
Sweet revenge. Yeah. This mighty woman, Jael, says, I think I can do something about this. And by golly, she does. Amen. I want to tell you, we have some mighty women in this house who do that type of thing spiritually. I'm talking about, have you ever seen on a Sunday morning, maybe one of the ladies comes with a need, a prayer need, and next thing you know, there's 5-6 women around this woman, and they're praying for a daughter, a son. They're praying for a work situation. They're praying about, fill in the blank, it could be anything. And I sense the power when these mighty women get together and start praying. And something is happening in the midst of their prayers, right? Just like something happened when Jael took that tent peg and that hammer. And they are nailing powers and principalities with every prayer that they pray. And they're making a difference. It's an awesome thing. Sometimes it literally moves me to tears to see these women come alongside each other and they are moving heaven and earth for their sister. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. Amen. Verse 22, and then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera, dead with the peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. That was a turning point. They had been 20 years harshly oppressed by this king and his army. But because a woman of God walked in the call that God had placed on her life, and a second woman did the same, it was a turning point. Now, things didn't change overnight, but that was a huge step that Israel took. And over time, they began to walk in a level of freedom that they hadn't walked in a long time. Amen? That's a pretty good story. These are some pretty good women we're reading about today. And again, I just want to celebrate the women of God in this house. And again, I want to reaffirm, we love you. We appreciate you. We want you to walk in everything that God has for you. Everything that God wants to use you to affect not only your family, but this house, and this community, and this school district, and beyond, right? You are critical. You are important. You have much value, ladies. And we recognize that, and we're thankful for you. We appreciate you. So thank God for Deborah. I want to wrap up, with Psalm 23. I've noticed that this is something that the Lord has been bringing up recently. Mike Deal preached an amazing sermon on the 23rd Psalm several weeks ago. And since then, the Lord has laid it on Pastor Steph's heart to share some of Psalm 23. And Pastor Steve, I believe, just mentioned it last week in his sermon. So there's a theme, there's an idea, there's something that the Lord keeps bringing up. And I simply want to read it and allow His living Word to encourage us again. Amen? And just allow Holy Spirit to speak to you what you need to hear out of Psalm 23 this morning. And, you know, a lot of us could, you know, recite this. We've learned this from little up. But let's allow the Lord to speak fresh into our hearts this morning. Amen? So, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ah, so good. So good. You know, that one line, He restores my soul. I went through a season years ago that was very challenging for me. And I would like drag myself into my prayer closet, right? And that line, time and time again, He was so faithful. He was so good. He restored my soul time and time again. When I just came and just poured it all out to Him, you know? Just got it all out. Like, God, this is what's going on. Obviously, You know what's going on. This is what I'm feeling. And time and again, this loving God would restore my soul. So anyway, I wanted to read Psalm 23 in closing. We're going to say goodbye to our online friends, and we're going to actually do communion here in just a moment. So if our ushers want to get ready, we're going to transition into that. Again, thank you for joining us today. It's been so great having you with us. If you'd like to listen to any previous sermons that maybe you've missed, again, feel free to go to our website. It is christianlifecommunitychurch.net. So great having you today. God bless you. Take care.